Oh, this is going back over a year or so. And this is entitled Doctrines of Demons. That's what we're going to hear here today, and we'll wrap it up tomorrow. Here it is Wednesday, now at 5:30 here coming up. Actually, it's 5:31 right now. You have got 28 minutes to make it to Island Community Church tonight, and we're going to have an awesome time in the Word tonight looking at the form of God. We read in the Bible, speaking of the Lord Jesus, that he existed or is existing or being in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That and the transfiguration is our launching point for tonight. Love to see you. We are meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. And 6 to 7 o'clock tonight, you are invited. And I'm sure you have a wonderful time at our church and enjoy the fellowship with the wonderful people there. And most importantly than anything, you'll hear from God and he'll speak to you through his word. Because I know the secret and I share it with you. And that is God is always broadcasting. And that is through his word. So, okay, well, that's where we're going to be tonight. Love to see you. Again, this will play today and tomorrow. This sermon, Doctrines of Demons. And God will see you through whatever it is that you're going through. Okay, let's move forward here. This text is quite revealing here. Verse 1. Now the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some are going to fall away from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So the Apostle Paul warns us that in the latter days, in the days leading up to the return of the Lord, many so-called Christians were going to be led astray by the following types of people. Everyone follow me? At the end of the age, near the end of the age, the people of Jesus Christ are going to be led away by the following type of people. Number one, they are liars. If you're writing down, liars. Always the telltale sign. Always the telltale sign of deceivers. They are liars and lying. People are always led astray by the liar, are they not? There's no combating the liar. How can you combat a liar? There's nothing you can do. God despises the liar. So much so, he's banned entry into the kingdom of God to all those that practice a lie. Where's that in the Bible? Revelation 21:8. You ought to remember it. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderer, sexually immoral, drug users, idolaters, and all liars are all that are false. Will have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Proverbs 6:19, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that are shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. You know, if this describes you, if you are a liar, that is the adjective. Now, there's a difference between a noun and an adjective. To tell a lie is a noun. Everyone has done that. Except Jesus. A liar is an adjective. Like being drunk or a drunkard. Or being swindled, or a swindler. When this describes you, this is what he's talking about. A liar, when this describes you, that's what he's talking about. And if this describes you, God wants to help you today. You don't have to leave this church today, or turn off this radio program. Don't shut this radio program off if I've called you a liar. Because God wants to help you today. You don't have to remain one. Only he can help you. and he wants to help you. He can change you from the inside. As a matter of fact, he already has. Isn't that right? He's already, this is the great scam. God's already changed you. It says in John 8:32, it says this. It says, and they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. God's already changed you. You don't have to serve, be a slave of sin anymore. Satan's deceived you into that. You don't have to remain a liar. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God will give you the strength for you to change that. You just got to turn and repent of it. Like if you're driving your car, you leave it right where it is, and you turn around and make a U-turn and start going in the other direction. Leave your sin behind. It's the only thing God promises he'll have amnesia with. The only thing God forgets is your sins. When you repent of them and leave them behind. See, my Jesus didn't die for nothing. He paid a terrible price. His blood is a serious thing. Because there's great power in the blood. It's powerful enough to obliterate your sins. To have a holy God remember them no more. Even you can be forgiven of what you've done. You turn and repent of it and go the other way. Satan does not want you to know that. You don't have to remain what you are. Okay, what's point number two about these deceivers? They are hypocrites. That is, they don't practice what they preach. To condemn or speak against something while you secretly do the very same thing is a hypocrite. In Greek also, a hypocrite is a play actor. Now Jesus said this, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master appointed over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all of his possessions. But if that evil servant should say in his heart, my master is delaying to come, the master of that house will come on a day he does not expect, and an hour he does not know, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. What an odd place to put that. Appoint him his share with the hypocrites, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, in this instance, a hypocrite is someone who says that they are a Christian, but are not. Ultimately, that one will cost you your soul. Maybe you can say you're a plumber and you're not. You can say you're a scientist and are not. You can say you're a doctor and are not. But if you say you are a Christian and you're not. So Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. Again, do you love what God loves? Do you hate what God hates? You will know them by their fruits. Are you living a changed life? Okay, that's number two. Again, number one, they're liars. Number two, they're hypocrites. Number three, their consciences are seared with a hot iron. Have you ever met someone who could never admit that he's wrong? Or never say, I'm sorry? Or worse than that, never repent of sin? Your conscience is what God uses to convict you of sin, church. Your conscience, God's given it to you as a gift. Keep it clean. God's giving you your conscience for a gift. God uses it to convict you when you're wrong. If your conscience is seared, sort of like burning your skin. You know, when you burn your skin, then you can't feel anything anymore. Or the day I stuck my thumb in my dad's cigarette lighter. Oh! Man, I couldn't feel anything. Or if you got a callus on your foot from walking barefoot for too long. Or if your foot falls asleep and then you do something to it, you don't feel it. Having your conscience seared with a hot iron is just like that. Then you go on sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning, and you just don't care anymore because you're not convicted of sin, because your conscience is what God uses to tell you, you're wrong. Make it right. He doesn't use your elbow or your nose. He uses your conscience. Elbow. If your conscience is seared and you're teaching something that's wrong or doing something that's wrong and you're not convicted by the Holy Spirit for it, no conscience, no repentance, no remorse, ultimately, no forgiveness. How can you be forgiven if you don't repent of something? And by the way, repentance is a gift from God. You can't just go, my bad. That's not repentance. It's a gift. The ability, the old church used to pray for tears of repentance because it's a gift from God. You can't just say, I'm sorry. There's no fire insurance. You can't go to God on judgment day and go, my bad. I didn't mean to do that. That's confessing something with your mouth that you don't believe in your heart. I mean, if you can't trick your mother with it, how do you think you're going to get past God with it? Number four. Now this list is going to get downright scary. Number four. They forbid to marry. They forbid to marry. All right. When we look at numbers four and five together, we see the deceivers at the end of the age are legalists. Not zombies. Legalists. They're legalists. Look at this brilliant deception. Okay, so then, what's number five in this list of end times deceivers who fall away from the faith? Will they tell you, take thine ease and relax? Will they tell you, live however you like? Will they tell you, sin without any consequences? Will they say it's okay to marry your cat like they do in England? Will they tell you eat, drink, and be merry? No. Number five is this. They won't allow you to eat pork. They won't allow you to eat pork. Or certain foods. Verse 2. Forbidding to marry and suggesting to abstain. No, commanding, it says. You see that? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now, I don't quite understand. Perhaps some person or people are going to deceive people with the false notion that by abstaining from these things, marriage and eating pork, that they're going to feel closer to God. And that's the deception. It's not to go out here to appeal to your flesh. The deception is to try to draw you closer to God. Otherwise, it's not deception. Hello? You can't be deceived into committing sexual immorality. You cannot be deceived into blaspheming God. The deception is, don't get married. The deception is, don't eat pork. Now, this sounds to me that this is a pastor here. or a clergy member? Clergy member. Who, or a false prophet. Who's doing all the deceiving? Here's what the Bible says about food, by the way. Keep on reading right where we're at. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. It's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Every creature of God is good. Thank you, God, for this food in Jesus' name. Amen. No food is to be refused with this thanksgiving if you pray over it and ask God's blessings. Mark 7:14, Jesus said, "Hear me, everyone, and understand this. There is nothing that enters into a man from outside that can defile him. But the things that come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." You might not hear that. If you don't hear it, out the door you'll go and call me names. That's why Jesus says that he that has ears to hear, let him hear. How many times must Paul address this? Romans 14:2. One believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak only eats vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him that eats, because God's received him. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. That means, hey, I want to go to church on Thursday if I want to. I've got every right to go to church on Thursday as my holy day without anyone else condemning me for it. Verse 6, he who observes the day, this is Romans 14:6. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He gives God thanks. Him who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. Verse 14, the end all verse, Romans 14:14. I know and I am convinced by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself. It's not done. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Meaning it might be unclean to you, but it's not unclean to God. And if it's unclean to you, fine. We're brothers in the Lord. It's unclean to you, that's fine. Paul continues. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, then you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. All right, one last time now. We'll read through these five verses and its context. And let's establish once and for all what and who Paul labels as doctrines of demons. Now, the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So what do we know from this future prophecy? These six things. Number one, many professed Christians are going to fall away from the faith. Number two, many professed Christians are going to be deceived. Remember, to think that something is something while something is actually something else. Number three, many professed Christians are going to be deceived by demons. Number four, many professed Christians are going to be deceived by demonic doctrines. Or teaching, doctrines of devils, Paul calls them. Number five, the deceptions are designed to inspire some kind of false holiness. False holiness. Don't marry. Can you hear it? Don't marry. It'll interfere with your intimacy with God. Don't eat certain foods. God said in the Old Testament not to eat those foods. Number six, falling victim to this will ultimately cause you to fall away from the faith. That's shocking to me. It's not a deception for you to go out and shoot the president. It's a deception to go out here and not eat certain foods. How does that lead me to sin? It leads me to trying to keep the law to be right with God. You know, here's what I've learned. I'll share it with you. Now you get my opinion for 2 minutes and then we're done. All right? As a pastor, what is the main thing the book of 1 Timothy is used for by the church? Excuse me, say that louder. What's the second thing it's used for? All right, for those on the radio, someone shouted out it's to pick a pastor. Let me answer your question for you. The second thing it's used for is to pick a deacon. Context. Context is everything in this book. What's the book about? How to pick a pastor or else. These are the things you got to find in a pastor. He's got to be a husband of one wife, not given him much money, able to rule his own house well, and has a good reputation in town. And this is how you pick a deacon. Same things. So, a good reputation, not a bully, not a drunk, not given to much money, because in the latter times, many will fall away from the faith. All right, question. Many who? Pastors. Clergy. Many pastors will fall away. Take it in context. This is how you pick a pastor and the warnings if you get a wrong one. This is how you pick a deacon. Right in chapter 3, this is the next verse after it. Because in the latter times, the Holy Spirit says, many will fall away from the faith. Many what? Pastors. Teaching you, okay. Has anyone ever heard of a clergyman forbidding someone to marry? Goodness, isn't there at least more than one ex-Catholic here, for crying out loud? But the Catholic Church says, don't worry. We know only 8% are child molesters who attack children. Only 8% of 48,000. They've admitted, rest assured, only 8% molest children. Have you ever heard of a pastor or a group of people that forbids you from eating certain foods? This is what this text means. More signs, just like Jesus said, what'll be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Paul gives us this, that in the latter times, many are going to fall away from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Anyone who tells you you can't get married is a doctrine right out of hell. No pastor should refrain from being married. That's a doctrine, and as a result of that doctrine out of hell, you got 8% of priests that sexually molest children because it's the doctrine of demon. A. B, any group that tells you you can't eat certain foods is contrary to the word of God. Because God says, I am convinced, Paul says, there is nothing unclean of itself. It's sanctified through the word of God and prayer. People that try to get you not to eat certain foods are people trying to get you to follow the law in order to be right with God. Lord, we thank you for your word.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only 5-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
Takes away our sin. The whole